is God's word. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the only offensive weapon we have to fight Satan and sin in the world. It's the only offensive weapon we have to share with people, to bring them out of sin, to bring them to Jesus Christ. All the other things listed there in the armor of God is to help us defend us from the Satan and his attacks. All we need is the word of God, and certainly that is true, and I believe it. Do you? Very good, very good. This morning, our lesson, this Thursday, our nation will celebrate the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July, by the way. And that date, our nation's forefathers declared their independence from the United Kingdom, or England. They had abused the colonists for a long time, and eventually, after much discussion, protests, and skirmishes with the British, the Second Continental Congress sent the document known as the Declaration of Independence to the King of Britain, informing him of the intention, their intention, to break away from the kingdom and form the United States. It was a great day in history, and we have fought for that freedom, to maintain that freedom for many years, for about 243 years. It's been a hard-fought battle to maintain that independence and our freedom. And we live in a great country. I believe the United States of America is the greatest country in the world. We have a lot of problems, but it is the greatest country in the world. And one of those reasons that it is and was one of the greatest countries of the world at that time is because it was founded on godly principles. And we celebrate it. Oh, we love to celebrate it. It's already started. You can hear the banging all over town, the fireworks. We always look forward to that. And the gunfire and the rockets going off. It's just a wonderful thing. It sounds like we're back there while they were fighting the British around my neighborhood. But we do love to celebrate it. And we love to celebrate our independence, and we love our freedom. We have so many blessings in this world. We are certainly blessed by God to live in such a wonderful nation. And as citizens of this nation, we have been blessed with many freedoms. And we really enjoy them, so much so, that we think we have come to think that it is our right to be able to do anything we want to do. Because we are independent people. And we've gotten that independence from, you know, the Declaration of Independence, and now we think we can do just about anything we want to do. We have grown used to being independent so much that it has been real easy for we as Americans to think that we can do anything and everything we want, that we don't need anyone else, and that no one can tell us what to do. It is born into us. It is taught to us because I taught it for many years that we are independent. We are a great nation, and I believe that. And so it's born into us. We are indoctrinated in that in school. For some, all these freedoms have been misused and abused to the point that it actually goes counter to the idea that our nation was founded upon. And like I said, those principles were godly principles, and some have been so misused and abused that now we're using those same ideas to do everything against what our nation was founded upon. We are citizens of a greater kingdom as Christians. We are citizens of a greater nation, the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual nation of God. One thing we have to be careful not to allow as citizens of the kingdom of God is that the idea of our citizenship in America being the same as that of the kingdom of heaven. Let me explain that. Unlike in America, where the government officials are supposed to serve us, in the kingdom of heaven, we are ruled by a king, Jesus, and we serve him. Unlike in America, where much of the blessings and privileges we enjoy are dependent on our own hard work and obeying the laws of the land, in the kingdom of heaven, all the blessings and privileges we enjoy are dependent on God and his Son. You see that contrast? Let me repeat that one. Unlike in America, where much of the blessings and privileges we enjoy are dependent on our own hard work and obeying the laws, in the kingdom of heaven, all of our blessings and privileges we enjoy are dependent on God and his Son Jesus. So this week, as we celebrate the 4th of July and our Declaration of Independence Day, let's also make it a day to recognize our declaration of dependence on God for all the blessings we have. Let us recognize that it is God that blesses us, and we are dependent on him. We read from James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Don't be deceived. All good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or turning. It is God who blesses us. When we declare our dependence on God, we realize that without God providing these things for us, we would be unable to have the blessings which we do have. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's talk about some of the blessings that we are dependent on God for. Now, without him, we would not have a chance. We would not have a prayer. Our lives would be much different than they are right now. The first one I want to look at is victory against Satan. Without help from God, we would not have a chance against the devil. But thanks be to God, the Bible tells us that there is someone who is more powerful than Satan if we are in Christ Jesus. In Exodus, and this goes back to the old and new, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 14, and this is when they were coming through the waters of the Red Sea and they looked back and the Egyptians were behind them. And God said through Moses, "The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace." Let God fight for you, depending on God for their victory against the Egyptians. And he did. They all drowned in the Red Sea. Now in the New Testament, we come to John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Jesus, who is in us, is greater than Satan. And without Jesus in us, we can't defeat Satan. There's no way. We are dependent on God and his Son for the victory that we have against Satan. Secondly, our blessings. We are dependent on God for our blessings. All these blessings we have come from one place, and that place is not us. They are from God. In 1 Chronicles 29, a great chapter, verse 14 says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you." This was used in our giving many years ago, and I wrote it down in my Bible. I circled it so I'd never forget it, that whole passage there where the writer is talking about everything is from you, and that which we give back is just what you've given us. So all our blessings come from you. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and following, that verse 3, and we won't read the whole passage, But in verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." He's talking about spiritual blessings here. All our spiritual blessings come from God. We are dependent on God for them. Forgiveness of sin. Adoption as sons, as children. The gift of the Holy Spirit. All of those things are dependent on God. But he's talking there spiritual blessings. As I continue to study after I wrote this lesson, I found a couple more. I remembered a couple more. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what he says. Verse 45. "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust." Now we're talking about the blessings of life. The rain comes down on the good and the bad alike. And he provides for everyone. All the blessings we have, the sun rising, and all the blessings we have from the sun itself is dependent on God. And then another one I found is Acts chapter 17. And I'm just another one popped into my head in Colossians. Where all things consist and exist and continue to go on because of Jesus. The sun rising every morning is because Jesus makes it happen. All of that. But notice Acts chapter 17. I want to start at verse 26 and read through 28. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Who decided that? God did. We're dependent on God for that. Okay? And verse 27, "So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us." Verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." We live and move and have our very being because of God. We are dependent on God for everything. All these blessings we enjoy. And another one is for our contentment. We are dependent on God for our contentment. This is a problem that most of us have and deal with. And we talked about this in class this morning. Being content with what we have, especially in our own society, where we are programmed to think that we need more of this and more of that. Something better, something bigger. The more we have. But again, contentment can be found where? Only in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read these now, so it might take me a little longer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned to, in whatever state I am, to be content." And verse 12, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So we can be content in whatever situation we are in. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about that in class this morning. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." We have to, our very contentment depends on God. He teaches us how to be content with what we have. We count on God and are dependent on God for our protection and strength in times of trouble and weakness. Isaiah chapter 40. See, don't we get used to technology and then everything slows down? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. Listen to what he says. "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." There are times when you get weak in life, when you just hit the wall. You can't go on anymore. Where do you get that strength to go on? And that strength is found in God and in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 18 and verse 6, listen to what the psalmist writes. Psalm 18 and verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. When we pray to God, he listens to us. He answers our prayers. He gives us strength when we need it. And in times of trouble, he takes care of that for us. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, which we use in Vacation Bible School, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So when we are weak, when we are troubled, where do we go? We go to God in prayer because we're dependent on God. We're dependent on God for wisdom, the wisdom that will bring us closer to God. And not only that, having wisdom will lead us to greater blessings in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, let's read that. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. That is what we need from God. If we try to go it alone, it's not going to work out well for us. And the Bible tells us that too. In the very next proverb, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We need to depend on the Lord for wisdom. Not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world is going to lead to the ways of the world. The wisdom of God is going to lead us right into heaven. We can't do it without God. We are dependent on him. We are dependent on God for bearing fruit for God. As God's people, as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus, and Jesus is our King, we are dependent on God for bearing fruit to his glory, to show our love and loyalty to him. We mentioned, Larry mentioned about evangelism and why we give. We give for evangelism. But we go out there and do the work, and we are dependent on God for the increase. In John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So if we're going to bear fruit to God, where do we have to abide? We have to abide in Jesus. Without Jesus, us abiding in Jesus, we're not going to bear any fruit. Because because that's what the text teaches. If we're going to bear fruit, we have to be attached to the vine, which Jesus is that vine. And he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We are dependent upon God to bear fruit. If we are not in God, if we're not in Christ Jesus, we're not going to bear fruit. We are also dependent on God for mercy and grace. Who among us in the rest of the world is not in need of mercy and grace when it comes to being right in the sight of God? I think that's why I love Larry's comment so much this morning. The burden of my sin that Jesus took. I am in need of mercy and grace. All of us are. And we're not going to find that mercy and grace anywhere else or in anyone else but in God and in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 14, verses 16, 14 through 16. Listen what the Hebrew writer says there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have an high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many times have you gotten down on your knees in prayer and asked God for forgiveness of sins? How many times? How many times have you got down on your knees in prayer and prayed to me or Don or Rod to forgive him for us to forgive you of your sins? Not once. Hopefully, not once have you done that. Man cannot get on his knees and pray to any other person in the world for forgiveness of sins, for mercy and grace to make it to heaven. We're dependent on God and Jesus Christ for that. And finally, the last thing we are dependent on God for is salvation. Salvation from the sin that separates us from God, and as a result, sends us to eternal punishment. If we don't seek forgiveness of sin in God's appointed way, through Jesus Christ, and reach our salvation, which is in Jesus Christ, we are surely appointed a place in hell. We have all sinned. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then previous to that, in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says that there is none righteous, no, not one. So that means every single person in here, even the little ones, when they grow up to the age of accountability, will fall into that category. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What are we going to do? I can't turn to any other man or woman on the face of this earth and expect them to save me in eternal judgment. I can only turn to Jesus. I can only turn to God for salvation. Listen to these passages. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus. And then Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then if you have your Bibles, I want to review something that we talked about, I think it was last week in our Bible class. And that's Matthew chapter 22, verses 11 through 14. I love that parable. I love that Bible class, mainly because of this passage right here that we're going to talk about. Jesus is telling a parable about the wedding feast. And in previous verses 1 through 10, he talks about people who declined his invitation to the wedding feast. I know the king's son is getting married, but I don't want to come. I've got other more important things to do. And so they refused the offer of the king to the wedding feast. And he says, go out and grab anybody and everybody, good and bad, no matter what, and bring them to the wedding feast. So the whole hall was full. And of course, that's talking about the rejection the Jews had against Jesus, and he opens it up to the Gentiles, and he opens it up to everybody, no matter what race, no matter what nationality you are. You come in to the wedding feast because of the king's invitation. You have to accept the king's invitation, and that is obedience to the gospel. And then verse 11, listen what he says. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now he's talking about the wedding feast, the bride and the groom, the bride being the church, and the groom being Jesus, the Son of God, the wedding feast. It's talking about eternity. It's talking about a heaven. and being in the kingdom of heaven, the church. And he walks in and he's looking around, and everybody has their garments on. And I told the class last week, it was a custom back during the day that the rich people, when they invited you to a party, you would show up and they would give you royal garments to wear, garments better than what you had on. So when you came in, when he came in, everything looked pomp and glory and everything, because you weren't wearing your old, ugly garments, stained garments. You were wearing these fancy, pure garments that the king had given you to wear for that wedding feast. And he comes into the wedding feast and he sees this one person without a garment on. And he says, "Where's your garment? Where's your garment? You can't be in here without that garment." And the text implies that the man refused to put the garment on. We are dependent on God for salvation. We are dependent on God for that garment. And if I had a PowerPoint to show you, I'd show you Jesus putting on the garment onto that person. When we are baptized into Christ, we remove our old garments and we are clothed with Christ in baptism. And we have our garment. And we have to keep that garment pure as we walk through life. So that when we come to the wedding feast, a culmination of life and judgment, we walk in there, and what are we clothed with? The garment that the king gave us. We are dependent on God for salvation. We cannot make it to heaven if we don't have that garment. You saw what happened. He kicked him out. He sent him where the fire is, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's hell, because he didn't have the garment on. So we are dependent on God for that garment. You know, life is hard, and all of us know this. Life is hard. It's hard on every single one of us. We are struggling in this life with all kinds of issues. All of us have them. All of us do. God never promised anyone an easy life. And Satan is there to make sure you don't have an easy life, because he's the one causing all the trouble. It's certainly not the Lord. Because every good and perfect gift comes down through the Father of lights. So it's certainly not the Lord causing the trouble, it's Satan. And many in this life try to go it on their own, independent of God. They may seem like they are doing okay and can handle it on their own, but they are just deceiving yourself. Remember verse 16 of James? Thank you, Don, for reading that. Don't deceive yourselves. You can't make it on your own. You need God. We all need God in our lives. If we try to make it without God, we don't have a prayer. We don't have any hope at all, because we are dependent on God for everything, physical or spiritual. We're dependent on God. Hopefully and prayerfully, that people who try to make it on their own will come to their senses and accept the invitation of our God and Savior, obey the gospel, and declare their dependence on God. Because that's what we do when we come to Jesus. I can't make it without you, Lord. I'm depending on you, Lord, for everything. And then when you're dependent on God, guess what increases? Your prayer life increases. Because what are you depending on? You're depending on God. I'm going to be down on my knees in prayer or praying to God more often, because I cannot make it in this life without God. I am dependent on God for everything. So what about you this morning? What about me this morning? Have we declared our independence or our dependence on God? The way we declare our dependence on God is accepting His invitation. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All good and perfect gifts come from me. And there's no shadow or turning. That means it's not going to change. All good and perfect gifts come from me. We accept that invitation, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son, that the only way to heaven is through His Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we're dependent on God, we're going to have to come to Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We repent of our sins, our old way of life. I can't make it without Jesus. I've got to change. If I'm going to be with Jesus and depending on Him, and He's going to give me all these blessings, I need to do what Jesus tells me to do. I need to follow His word. And I wouldn't do this at all if I didn't know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's confession. And then I need to submit to what Jesus tells me to do. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, we just read, he that believeth what? Believeth in Him as the Son of God and willing to obey His will. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we put Christ on in baptism. What does that do? It washes our sins away. We come up out of the waters of baptism clothed with Christ. If you think you're going to make it to heaven without being baptized into Christ, read Matthew 22:11-14. It's not going to happen. Because that's where you get your garment to walk into the wedding feast. And if He sees you there without that garment, you're out of here. That's just the way it is. Because the King told us that. And He's warning us. Not warning. I don't like to use the word warning. He's encouraging us. Prepare yourself. Get your garment. You know, Revelation talks about the robes, the white robes. That's a garment. That's a figurative language for our garment. And our garment is Jesus Christ. We're clothed with Him. All our sins are washed away. We arise out of the waters of baptism, depending on God for our food, for everything. Where does that food come from? Right here. This is food. This is the Word of God. This is true manna from above. Right here. John chapter 6. We need to partake of it. Partake of Jesus Christ. Do what He says. Obey the will of the Father. Matthew 7:21. Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, on that day. Lord, Lord, haven't we done all this? Haven't we done all that in your name? And He will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Why? Because they didn't do the will of the Father in heaven. We are dependent on God. So this morning, if you're here and you haven't declared your dependence on God through obedience to the gospel, do it today. Because we never know when our time is going to come. We talked about that in class this morning. If you miss Bible class, you're missing a lot of good information on the Bible. Stuff you need to know. We talk about it every Sunday, every Wednesday. Stuff you're going to need to know. Some people just turn their, I don't need Bible study. I can't get up early enough. You're going to wish you had gotten up early enough. We talk about these things in Bible class. Amongst ourselves, we share information. Come to Bible class. You're going to need to know this. So, obey the gospel. And for those who have declared their dependence on God, the way you remain faithful to that, or the way you keep declaring your dependence on God, is to remain faithful to God. Pure and simple. If you're really dependent on God, you're going to be faithful to God. You're going to do what He says, because you realize that if I start going my way on my own, I'm destined for destruction. So I need to follow closely God's will. Satan is real. Satan is real. He would love nothing more than for you to think that you are just fine without Jesus. He's got you. I'm doing pretty good without Jesus. I got a big car, big house, nice boat. Things are going my way. Until you die, like Bible class this morning, then nothing's going your way. And it's too late. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Don't be deceived. You can't do it on your own. So this morning, as Isaiah's coming up to lead the song of invitation, come to him today and declare your dependence on God. Won't you come?